The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
That is a very impressive stat. That's number one to me.
That's number one. Never try. You know, reasonable minds can disagree on this. So I'm not going to give you a great pushback.
That's not yours?
No. I think, you know what? I decided on this yesterday and I forgot what I said. I think I said 10 comeback wins. 10. No. 9-1 on the road. Because, again, a little bit nuanced when you're sifting through what's the most impressive. They're all impressive. This is why we're having this conversation. But you can get down 1-0 and have a neutralizer in 10 seconds and a 10-second, downhill shift. You could tie the game. So, but to go 9-1 on the road, I agree with you that home ice advantage might be last, but to act 9-1, gosh, that's one of the most dominant away teams in postseason history, if it's not number one.
What about this being KKFN
81.9 by Denver? I got it. Yes.
That's a first time in months.
It's under review, but months. The call on the field is you.
I started it.
We're going to the Microsoft tablet. The ruling on the field is you.
Yeah, I think I got that. I think Mike Pereira is coming in and the call stands on the field. Well, you know what I think is a more impressive stat? Being favored in 19 out of 20 games.
That's unbelievable.
That just shows you how much better they were than... Because half those games were on the road.
Yeah.
Right? And you were still favored in every single game except one. And you were barely an underdog. You weren't even plus money. And that was on the road against the two-time defending champs. That's incredible.
It is. They were expected to win every single time they played outside of one where it was a coin flip on the road. Gosh. What a run, man.
I mean,
seriously, what a run. Of course they are.
I mean, I had to really try to shoot holes in a couple of them just to make it interesting. But I do think being favored in 19 out of 20 games.
Brilliant.
And basically, it was 19-0-1 in terms of who was favored.
You want to know what I want to know? What was their quote-unquote record of them being favored in games this year? How many times were they the underdog all season long? This is a team that came in as the Stanley Cup favorite. And they never at any point in the season were not the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Even when they started 1-3, that's how they started 1-3. So, I bet it's five or less times that they were the underdog.
I would agree. If you were favored in 19 out of 20 playoff games, how many times were you favored when you were playing the Kraken?
They went through the entire month of January.
Great name, though. I mean, let's not just dismiss them. Great name.
Took Grubauer down.
The Avs had a month where they didn't lose in regulation.
Unbelievable. That is an amazing stat.
They lost one game in January, and they lost at Nashville 5-4 in overtime.
Remember when Cale Makar said, well, after they were like 500, well, we can just win like the next 76 games or something.
He was pretty much right.
He was close.
Yeah. He wasn't that far off.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think when they wouldn't have been favored this entire year. But there would not be many times.
Well, I think that in like the first week or two, it was a little bit bumpy. So maybe after like 8 or 9 days, but then after that, they were on top the rest of the season.
That regular season toward the end of the year when they played back-to-back games against Pittsburgh, maybe the game in Pittsburgh?
Well, I know they lost both of them. They lost a few games at the end of the year. I'm not talking about those. But even when they're losing those games, I doubt if they actually became national underdogs for the upcoming game.
I doubt they did either. It was probably 75 games out of 82.
Maybe more.
I'd be hard-pressed to find the seven.
I think it's more.
It's crazy.
I do not believe there was seven times during the season where the Avs were underdogs.
Well, they didn't let us down, did they? How's the Stanley Cup doing today? We asked the Orlando. Orlando was pretty cocky. He would be hanging out with the Stanley Cup last night.
Did he accomplish that?
I don't know. I don't know. Not sure. But he was confident.
I'll wait for Orlando. Sometimes he's like Stoke, likes to tell his own business. So I'm not going to put his business out there. I'll wait for him to tell his own business. But yeah,
I'm curious, Tyler. When you guys won Super Bowl 50, you had a party at the hotel that night.
Yes. We never left it, by the way. That's where we stayed the entire night, right there at the hotel.
Did any members of the media come in and hoist the trophy?
You know what? Man. I heard you guys' conversation. I thought it was such a fantastic conversation. And for full disclosure, Mike is a friend of the show. He comes on with us a lot. And you know, 100% respect him. I've got strong opinions on it. I'm more or less in agreement with you guys. I'm going to give this one caveat on that conversation because we're going to go back to this here in a minute. But here's my one caveat. If Darcy Kuemper, if Gabe Landeskog, if any member of the Colorado Avalanche was hoisting that trophy above their head and they saw him and they just handed him that trophy and that's how he had to naturally hold it, okay, cool. Sure. One of the Colorado Avalanche just handed you the trophy in a manner in which they're celebrating. They wanted you to as well. Other than that, you treat it like a fan would. You put your arm around it. You take a picture. No problem. You can even touch it. You just can't act like you want it.
Yeah, to me, that's the part that kind of puts it over the top, as it is. That's why I asked you as a player in that situation.
Well, okay.
You want it. You don't want anybody else acting
but I'm sorry. I didn't answer your question. I didn't answer your question. The answer is yes. There were certain media members that worked for the team, and we're all cool with it.
Right.
I mean, because they're getting the same paycheck that we were getting.
To me, that's a totally different deal, right? Like, yeah. If they worked for the team, everybody knows it. Nobody, and I'm not calling them out of, hey, they don't do their job right.
Hey, they get a ring. I mean, they literally got a ring. So that's cool.
But yeah. There's a different expectation for how they're going to cover the team, yes, given the fact that they get paid by the team, than somebody who works for the local paper. It's just, it's a different deal to me.
And if there's, and we made sure to emphasize, if there's any, because media is changing, okay, across the board, and there's different avenues and approaches to media now more than ever before. But if there's any group of media that, this is a long-standing, like, understood thing with the Stanley Cup etiquette.
Hockey media members are more protective than hockey fan. Hockey media members more than anything.
But if there's one old-school media, what's more old-school than traditional print media for the Denver Post? I was a little bit surprised to see it. I don't want to demonize anything because I've heard him come on the station and he's great. I'm actually a fan. I've never met him.
Mike's great. I don't think he's a bad guy.
Great. No.
And I'm enjoying this moment right here because this is the first time you muggles are starting to realize what it's like to be me, to be Mark Schlereth, to be Stokely,
right?
Because this is what we do. We got to talk about our boys. We got to talk about our teammates, people that we love, that we care about. But you got to say, hey, didn't agree with their decision right there, and all. All of a sudden, it's like the shoes flipped a little bit.
Yeah. Mike's a good friend of mine right here, so it's definitely an awkward sort of conversation to have. So
well, but at the end
I would just say you'd have to look at the entire context of everything and maybe not be so quick to judge, and I'd want to hear from Mike, to be quite honest.
I mean, whoa, hold on a second. Yesterday, we sat here, and we said if they offered you a sip from the cup, that you, who does sports talk radio, that's right. Way less casual than what he does, that you said you still wouldn't do that. That's a step down from hoisting the cup over your head. If there's one trophy that has etiquette like that, it's the Stanley Cup. There's not even etiquette for any of the other trophies, but we called it a sacred process yesterday.
Yep, yep.
I think it's very fair. James was a little bit more critical than I was, but at the same time, I mean, gosh, if you wouldn't take a sip from it, why is it that complicated?
Well, thanks to our listeners and Bennett for making 104.3 the fan part of your day. I think it's a interesting, complicated sort of question. I knew where the cup party was. I saw a variety of media people.
I talked to you when you were outside. You were down the escalator.
You did.
From it.
And what did I say?
You said you were joking around about how you weren't invited, but I was taking it as I'm not crossing the line.
I chose not to do that. That was my decision. I didn't even try.
Why?
But
why?
For me.
For me, D-Mac,
and my role, I viewed my role as a fly on the wall to bring the listeners and viewers, internet-wise, inside as far as I could. Had I been invited to go up to be a fly on the wall there, might have been an interesting thing that I probably would have done.
And by the way, totally cool to do that. If you get invited to go up to the party, totally cool.
Sure.
That's fine. Take your photo next to the trophy.
And by the way, I have no doubt Mike was invited. I have no zero doubt that he was invited to be there,
sure,
as he should have been invited to be there. But I don't have that relationship. I'm close, but I'm not that close. And don't forget, guys, just to be fair to everybody, we have a complicated relationship here at the Fan and with Altitude. And, you know, it just wasn't my spot to be at, in all honesty. It was their party, not mine. So let that just be.
But he's not
he's not altitude,
he's Denver
for
Post.
The record.
I'm talking about myself.
But to D-Mag's point, there's always context to everything. And there are contextual situations in which it is okay that he could have helped that thing. There's very few of them. I told you one of them, and it might be the only one I could think of. If a member of that team handed you that trophy and they were holding it above your head and that's how you held it, all right, cool. Or if they told you, hey, man, you've been around. We want you to celebrate with us. They asked you to partake in it. Cool. So there are a couple situations that I would agree that context is everything. Those are about the only two situations I could think of.
I can tell you outside of this market, because when we're close to the situation and people like you know Mike Chambers, you can have a slanted viewpoint of it. Or not a slanted, I don't mean that. I don't mean that.
Killed.
No. I mean, you said that's your good friend, so it's like hard for you to talk about it.
Yeah.
I can tell you
it feels good having to listen to you guys talk about friends.
I can tell you that 85% of people outside the market that work in the business had a negative view of that.
Yeah, but like, what were the beat writers for other teams? What were their opinions? I know there were a lot of national guys there, but like I said in the beginning, I think context matters. And it's one thing to hear from a bunch of national guys that kind of flowed from one team to another. And I'd rather hear from somebody. First of all, you got to understand with this whole topic, the first person I would go to and ask, well, what do you think, would actually be Mike Chambers himself. That's how much regard and respect I have for
Mike. So the people you should ask, not other guys on the beat, players. Those are the ones that it matters, because they're the ones that earned it. You know, in football, it's different. Our trophy is not regarded the same way that theirs is. And if a media member came in and they wanted to take a photo with the Lombardi trophy, I wouldn't have an issue if they picked it up and held it for a photo. I wouldn't, because that's normal. If you're at Mike Shanahan's house, you pick it up, you take a photo with it.
But that's different than the night of the Super Bowl victory, coming in and taking a photo with the trophy.
Oh, Let me ask you this, time out on that one. Because that wasn't like on the ice or in the locker room. I mean, this is in the wee hours of the morning at a party where, you know, there is a sort of sense of family and community doing this from start to finish, guys. I mean, let's not be inhuman here.
Is that what we're doing? We're being inhuman to Mike Chambers? Hold on a second. Get the hell out of here with that. We're not being inhuman to Mike Chambers? Get out of here. Come on, dude.
D-Mac, let me ask you this.
Inhuman to Mike Chambers. Because he partied with the team. Come on.
I do get the point that he's a friend, and that's a hard conversation. I've been there. That's hard. But seriously, if it was not your friend, what would you be doing? What would you be saying?
Who knows? Maybe I have a more balanced opinion on this because I see it from a more nuanced opinion. Because I see that there's context that matters. You know what?
Is
it fair? Hold on. Is it fair we reach out to Mike?
Sure.
Mike?
Yes, sure.
I've always started there.
This doesn't, and the reason you kind of pissed me off saying we're being inhuman.
Did I really piss you off?
A little bit.
That ticked me off the way that we talk about.
Wait, I pissed everybody off?
Yeah, no, well, I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why it ticked me off. Because the way that we sit here and talk about athletes, and I do the same thing.
Yes.
The way that we talk about Jerry Jeudy when he makes an off-the-field mistake, the way that we talk about anybody when they get themselves in the headlines, it does tick me off that all of a sudden that is being inhuman. When you're talking about
it was the word inhuman because geez,
D-Mac, if you've ever looked at my Twitter, you got to call me worse than inhuman.
And here's the thing. We made sure to emphasize none of this makes anyone a bad guy.
Of course
at all.
Not.
These are good people. Yeah. It's just an opinion on an etiquette thing that generated a ton of response.
Would you guys have lost respect for me if you saw me with the cup over my head?
I would have.
That would have been weird to me. Let me just ask you a simple question, straightforward. And it's really simple. Are you okay with beat writers partying with the team that they cover into the wee hours of morning, hosting the trophy above their head?
Those are two different things.
Yeah, that's like you just include like five.
Because I just want to clarify it, because as a player, I am okay with media members that we invited partying with us.
Cool.
I'm cool with that because we did that. We did have a couple guys that we loved and we wanted them to come up and have some beers.
I'm glad you made that distinction because earlier I said I'm okay with taking a picture with the cup. I'm okay with taking a drink from the cup. Yesterday when you said no, we were like, I would. But there's a different with the cup when you're hoisting it over your head. It's just a little bit different.
Well, if you just go to like the history of journalism and sports writers, hanging out, having beers with the athletes and coaches.
It used to happen way off, dude, more often than it does
now. That is like the core principle of how to do your job.
I mean, I don't know if it's a core principle of how to do the job. Hanging out with the players and partying is a core principle of how to do that job.
It's not necessarily partying, but it's developing relationships is a pretty important part of the whole thing, and that's how it works.
D-Mac, like you said earlier, it's all about context.
It's all about context.
If somebody invites you, cool. You got invited. Come party. And we did invite a handful, very few. We did invite a handful to come up there that were non-state sponsored. Cool. They were invited.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to assume that he was invited.
I really am.
I don't think that he just barged in uninvited. No. Then there's the context of, did somebody invite you to celebrate as if you just won that thing?
But D-Mac, you asked if I'd have lost respect for you. No. And I didn't lose respect for Mike. I don't think he should have done it.
Same.
I didn't lose respect. But yesterday, when I saw the photo,
mm-hmm.
I started writing a text to you to ask you if you did it. And then I deleted it and didn't send it because I'm like, I knew I was coming on to fill in. And I was like, if I'm going to rip these guys, I got to rip D-Mac too if he did it. So I wouldn't have lost respect for you, but I still would have been critical of it.
I stayed away from it. In fact, it was the Stanley Cup was actually at the media party here in Denver between games one and two.
Mm-hmm.
My son is a gargantuan fan. I got him up to the party for my son to get a picture with it, and he didn't touch it. And he asked if I wanted a picture with it. I go, nah, that's all right. You know, so I actually could have gotten a picture with it. But then again, I'm not a beat writer, man. I'm not covering this team. We should ask Mike and go from there.
But for the record, it's okay for us to have an opinion.
I just said it. I just said it. You're more than well within your rights to.
It's literally what we do about sports.
Yeah, because I don't think there's an explanation he can have that's going to make me say it's okay. There's just not.
Maybe he would. But what
if he said what I said? What if he said Gabe Landeskog was holding the cup over his head, and that's how he naturally transitioned the cup to me, and I had to hold it above my head because that's how he handed it to me?
I still just think you go, nope. I'm good.
You didn't have to take the photo even if he did that.
Right. Exactly.
All right, I'll tell you this. I think this is fair. He probably shouldn't have posted the photo. I'll go there, you know, because again, that's just, you know. But then again, you know, man, people love the D-Mac After Dark when I go on the road and put stuff out there. People dig it.
Yeah.
But
yesterday when we asked you if you would take a sip from the cup, you said no. You drew a line. I would have been okay with that. That's another layer even beyond that.
And you, me, Stokely, we all said we would take a drink out of that thing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But that's assuming that somebody invited me to. I'm not going to go up and take a drink out of it unless somebody hands me that and says, hey, take a swig.
All right, just to say before you take a proof break, and I know we're over. Context matters. For example, if I'm just going to go, for instance, perhaps you're out at... I don't know, Stokely's having a party somewhere, he's not working. That would be amazing. But maybe there's a possibility, or you have, you know, there's circumstances with both you guys that reasonably you could be in a place where the cup is.
I'm going to see the cup in a few days. I'm going to take a photo with it. There's no question that I will.
And I think if you took because you're a talk show host now, and you're at a party, and you're invited to take a sip out of it, I think that's a cool picture. Yeah, I don't think there's any problem with it whatsoever.
Yeah, same.
So... context matters. Now, where Mike fits in that, I suppose, is, the point of contention, you know, because apparently there's other scenarios where it would be okay, but it's not okay in this particular scenario, right?
I think if it was 8:30 at night, Mike would have never posted that picture.
I gave you a scenario that's okay.
I think it was taken at 3 o'clock in the morning. I agree with that, Zach.
And I did give you a scenario that's okay. And if that was the scenario, it's totally okay.
All right, well, I guess we'll...
But that was the one scenario.
You talk about a conversation I didn't see coming, but when that article came out from Barrett Sports Media, I was like, whoa, this is a thing.
Did we already reach out to... Are we... Yeah, okay. Well, we reached out. We'll see what he says.
Doesn't make anybody a bad guy.
He's definitely not a bad guy. This is just an opinion.
I call out all my buddies. I call out everybody I care about.
There you go.
I do.
All right. Well, with that, guys, you know what's dangerous? It's dangerous to step into the sports void.
D-Mac better ever not critique another athlete, or else I'm going to be calling him anyway.
When there's a void,
if you ever critique an athlete without understanding the full context of what happened and the people that were there, you are an inhumane human being.
Inhumane.
Oh, that triggered me. It did.
I know.
It's been all the stuff in the world. This is inhumane.
I mean, you know, keep the lead to just shoot yourself. I mean, it's right. Yeah, it's context.
The situation is under review. The situation is under review.
All right, well, we'll take a quick break and
hold
on.
That was fun.
Great. This is the Drive on the Fan.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Max.
Yeah, welcome to the sports void. Come back. When there's nothing really to talk about, be careful.
We become inhumane.
Be careful. Be careful when you step into the sports void. We gotta churn up this talk radio one way or the other. So.
Hey, buddy.
Welcome to it.
Dan, tell me it was an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it is. It's a very interesting conversation about ethics and sports and journalism and the crazy mixture of most teams right now having pretty extraordinary media departments to more or less churn out their point of view.
For sure.
And I know a lot of those people, and they're really, really cool people.
And you know what? Most of those guys, depending on the team, and ladies, depending on the team they work for, they actually get a ring if they win. So they've got a pre-approved pass to do that stuff.
Here's where I come from, too, because I did work for a team for 1 year. I worked for the Buffalo Sabres. And I can tell you firsthand, there's a different perspective and way you go about things when you really do work for the team. You can't be objective. You're not objective. You're there to, you know, talk about what's reasonably going on to benefit the team.
And you can be objective as long as it's within reason.
And by the way, nobody had to tell me how to be when I worked for the team.
Yes.
So the whole, like,
but
nobody...
did you know who was signing off on your check?
Yes! Okay. So the whole concept
did you want to tick off your boss?
No, so the whole concept of I wasn't told one way or the other to say something is, like, the most ridiculous defense of all time. It's, you get it. You understand it from the beginning. Of course you don't have to be told it. You know it. So the whole, like, nobody ever has to tell us what we can talk about. Stop. Shut up. I mean, you know, don't be a fool. And, you know, I've worked that. And to be fair, my favorite thing about the Fan, without a doubt, 1,000% of working here for over 14 years, is we do not have a direct connection with any of the teams we cover. We don't.
Yeah.
That is the truth, Ruth.
And that's freedom. That's 100% freedom.
And you know,
I have worked across the street, and I think you can be reasonably critical. But I think the way you said it is perfect. You don't have to be told anything. You just understand what the line is, and you just don't cross the line. You can talk about a sack. You can talk about an interception. But, you know, all of a sudden it's a little bit tougher to talk about ownership. It's a little bit tougher to talk about some of the big wigs, right?
Well, it's no doubt about it. And that is what we've been doing here at the Fan and what I'm so proud of and giving you the reporting and the truth based on our opinions, based on the facts that we can assemble and gather. And that's it. The end. It's not influenced by anything but that. Mike Chambers said he'll join us after 3:00.
I love it. I'm glad he's coming on. I'm glad we'll get to hear his point of view.
Mike will be on. This again does to me feel a little bit like who cares kind of story, but it's an interesting interesting conversation.
I'm not going to lie. When I hear you say that, I do feel a little bit like Zach Bye. Like who cares about this because it's a reporter? I mean, we crush athletes for the dumbest things ever. We assume that we know what happens, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody. But this is a sports story. So who cares? A lot of people care.
A lot of people
wrote national articles. I mean, there's stuff all over the place. People care.
Well, there's one big national article about it. There's a lot of tweets about it. There's a lot of commentary about
it. Okay, it's everywhere.
All right. Well, I'm not stepping down from it, and we're going to have Mike on here in about 40 minutes.
I don't like how you keep dismissing it. Like I can't dismiss one of my peers, one of my teammates that I played with. I got to talk about it.
Well, I'm talking about it, but I'm also disclosing I'm very good friends with Mike Chambers.
I totally get that.
So it's hard. It sucks
when I have to talk about a good friend.
If I'm holding back a little bit, I'm admitting right off the bat that I'm biased on this.
Wow.
Sorry.
How would you feel about me if I did that?
I would understand it. I
understand it too.
And I've talked to guys like you and your, for example, I'll give you a quick example. Chris Cooper came here years ago and he sat in that chair and did a show with me, and because Chris was contemplating it. And after the show, he's like, I can't do this, because he simply was
really
too close to the guys. And I have worked with a lot of ex-athletes, and it gets way easier the more time passes.
The further removed you get, there's no question it gets easier.
No doubt. So I'm sympathetic to it. But I would still hold you to be honest.
But you would expect us to do our job. You would expect us to talk about it, and you would expect us to... Yeah, so that's where it bothers me a little bit when you try to dismiss it and act like, who cares? We care because it's a compelling storyline.
It is a complicated topic about, well, let me give you a for example. You know what? I'll give you a for example next, okay? Right. I'll give you a for example next because something actually really did happen.
For the record, I like Mike too. I really do. I still like Mike a lot.
We'll see.
Okay, well, I don't know if he's going to like me, but I like him no matter what he says.
Well, we've given you a significant reason to keep listening. So I tell you what, keep listening. It's the drive on the fan.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
So hard makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. What am I doing around and do like me? It's just good when you know you're down. A super dope homeboy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such, and this is the you can't touch.
Can't touch.
That's
funny, KJ. All right. You can touch us and see us and feel us and everything else us with the parade on Thursday. We're broadcasting live all day. Bud Light presents the Fans Mission 16W Parade Party. We'll be at Bezel inside the Denver Sheraton Downtown Hotel. Great location. It's all presented by Superbook Sports and Pinnacle Builders, amongst others. So, way to go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, what was I going to tell you? I was going to tell you something.
I don't know. We've had a very spirited first 45 minutes, 15 minutes before the show, 30 minutes during the break and all. It's been nonstop.
I know I was going to say something. KJ, do you remember what I... Holy cow. As soon as I said it, everybody came into the studio and started yelling at each other about a variety of things. Go back and listen to what I teased there, KJ, if you can. I know there was some point to it. But about what? Example, but what was I talking about right before I said that example?
We're good at this. We're really good at our job. Don't worry about it.
I get it. We're good. I remembered I was supposed to say something. I had a good example,
too. You know you're supposed to tease something. You probably had an example of somebody celebrating. You probably had an example of a situation which you felt like it was appropriate. I'm guessing that's what your example was.
I don't know. Who knows? You get into those celebration modes, they're so few and far between. I mean, I was in the Rockies clubhouse when they were spraying champagne on each other. I guess it would have been inappropriate for me to start like
right.
Woo-hoo!
See,
all right.
See,
you were talking about giving an example of people getting a little too close. You know, there were certain moments in the past that happened where people got too close. I don't know which story you were relating there.
I'm sure I had something. I don't know. I do remember when I worked for the Sabres, and it's different when you work for the team. When you work for the team, and by the way, they were letting friends, family. I don't know. Everybody, it is incredible how that cup is like handled with white gloves, and then it's just like tossed around like you know, something else. And
you know, it's all about the relationships. And you know, I had friends that got to come into that party. I got family. I had my dad. I had my wife. I had my mom. I had sisters. I had people. They got to come. They got to hold the trophy. They got to take pictures with the trophy,
mm-hmm.
and they were invited to do that. Right, and. They probably see. And I wouldn't even say Lombardi Trophy is the exact same.
It's not.
You hold up a Lombardi Trophy as a fan, no big deal. It's the Stanley Cup is different. It's the literal size of it, the way you have to hold it and act like, man, this was mine. I did this. You take a photo with the Lombardi Trophy, it looks like a little toothpick in comparison to that.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup is a totally different deal. But anyways, we'll have Mike on in about a half hour, and we'll see what he has to say about it. And it's hardly the biggest deal in the world, but it's an interesting perspective. I grew up with writers, reading writers in Sports Illustrated. They always seemed, and I love those details, Tyler. I love the, you know, I was at the party afterwards where nobody else was, and this is what so-and-so had to say, and this is what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And that type of insight is just awesome.
It's my favorite stuff of why, when you're on the road, my favorite parts were not you tweeting about the game. It was not even you taking photos of the pressers. It was taking the random shots before and after at the stadium, given access that you don't have unless somebody shows you or tells you about it. So, you know, like as a reporter, if you got the invitation to go to that party, go. And if you're allowed to talk about it, talk about it, because people do want to know what that is like.
Right. But it was funny because there were definitely several people who could have waved me up. And but that's okay. That's okay. I wasn't invited to your football.
So were you hoping you would get in? Did you sit there? How long did you stand by the escalator waiting for an invite?
Probably 30 minutes.
I called
James, and because I thought it was a cool moment. See, that's the cool part. Like, I don't know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. I have no idea when things are going to go down.
Right.
You just put yourself in a position that, you know, you sort of, you're available. You're present enough to see it. I mean, like, I don't know. What do you report on and what don't? Oh, I know what the story was. Thank you, KJ. I know what it was.
Did KJ really help you with that?
Yes, he did.
He did?
Yeah.
All right. Good job, KJ.
So let me ask you this, because I did take some heat from some listeners. Now, earlier in the season, I was talking to my pal Jesse from DNVR, and we're in the hallway after a hockey game. And this is just middle of the season, just, you know, whatever. We were just chatting about X, Y, and Z. And all of a sudden, I see Bones Highland come out of where you would go for the Nuggets practice court. And it was 11:30 at night. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting because he'd been in a bit of a slump. And there he is putting up jump shots.
That was an awesome inside story that no way anybody else was going to have. But you had it because you were at the right place at the right time.
And at the same time, within minutes of that, I saw, I don't even remember what player it was. But I do remember a player coming out of the X-ray room. The X-ray room happens to be very close to that particular area. And so I did ask a couple of journalists, and I even asked the Avs PR department. I said, is this okay to talk about? Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know what? You're in an area you're allowed to be in. You can report on what you can see. Meanwhile, I was told earlier in the year, hey, we really would rather not you shoot video of the players like coming and going and doing this and that. And I kind of was like, okay, listen, I'll follow your rules, whatever they happen to be. So when I heard that, hey, it's all right. It's standard that, you know, if you see something and you're in an area where you're allowed to be, it's okay to report on it. So when I saw Valen Nichushkin a couple of nights ago on a golf cart with his leg wrapped up and not able to walk, I put it out there because I was in an area that I was allowed to be in and I was just reporting on something I could see.
Yeah.
I got crushed by some people on the old internets.
So tell me, what was the context? When and where did you see it?
Post-game.
Post-game, are there other reporters around?
Tons.
Okay, yep. Absolutely, 100%. You're within your right to report on it. Now, the other example with the Nuggets that you brought up, I forget who you said was injured, but you saw somebody who was injured and you saw Bones going in for the late night workout.
Yeah.
I think that was definitely the right decision to call and ask permission for that, because it was something that you kind of stumbled into that other people did not get to see. And, you know, it's kind of on their own private time. So private time, there is a little bit of a different expectation. You got the approval. So cool. Told the story. But if other media members are around and it's a time that you're allowed to be around, it's normal. Mm. You report on what you see.
But by the way, Mike Chambers reported that Nichushkin was coming out of the X-ray room. So to think that, like, somehow Mike Chambers is compromised or something, that was just a couple days ago. Mike was asking about how they felt, a couple of Avs players, how they felt about the NHL saying the cup could not be taken to Russia because of what's going on in Russia and Ukraine.
Mm.
Well, that's a complicated question.
Heck yeah, it is.
And, you know, Mike's the one that brought that up. Mike's brought up a ton of, like, you know, sort of, you know, in your face sort of thing. So
Mike's a fantastic reporter. Fantastic. A very talented reporter. And just like when we talk about football players that are very talented at what they do, when we talk about Von Miller, when he's a Pro Bowler, but he does something we didn't like, it's okay. Both those things are true. He is a very talented reporter. He's a good human being. I enjoy his company. I hope that he doesn't hate us forever. I've got an opinion on it.
All right. Well, half hour, I'll have Mike on. I'm belaboring the point. It's an interesting conversation. What information do you want as a sports fan? What do you want? What does it take to report that on a regular basis? What's the obligation to be truthful about what you see, and what do you keep a secret?
Oh, you know, is a good example of that. And gosh, was it Woj? Who broke the Lakers coach got fired right after the Nuggets game?
It's like Woj.
Was it Woj?
As Frank, what's his face?
He hadn't even gotten into the locker room.
We timed it out. He was literally walking off the court when the tweet came out.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. Like, okay,
he got fired.
You had the information.
The court and the locker room, which is about a 50-yard walk.
Had he been told that by then? Probably not.
Well, that was a tricky one because that game went to overtime. That was the last game of the year against the Lakers. That garbage game, it went to overtime. So I think there was probably some pressure to sort of get it out at a certain time of day. That was a bizarre one for a guy to get fired as he walks into the locker room. And so everybody knows, like, from the end of the game to when he goes in the locker room, that 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Bizarro world. Anyways. Do the fans care? Do the fans care?
I don't know.
Fans really care about any of this stuff?
Maybe not. I think that some do, and I'm sure there's a huge majority out there that are saying, dude, if I was a media member, that's what I would be doing, because fans are such fans at heart that if they had that kind of access and they had the ability to do it, they're like, yeah, heck yeah, I would do that. Technically speaking, there is supposed to be a barrier as a media member. There's not supposed to be cheering in the press section. Internally, you do it. Externally, you're not supposed to do it. So maybe the fans actually, I would not be surprised at all if the majority of the fans had Mike's back on this.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a tricky one. You're right about that. Because what?
They're fans. They're like, well, I want to do that.
Exactly. What fan, if given that opportunity, wouldn't have done that?
Yeah, exactly. And I totally get that.
You know, my son wouldn't touch the cup, though. He could have.
Is that right?
He really did not. I have a picture to prove it. He was like, you don't, he goes, I didn't earn it. And I told you, you weren't here, but I told the story. Maybe you were here, I forget. But
I think that's taking it too far. I mean, I would tell him, you're a fan, so touch it, take a picture of it, enjoy it. You're a fan, but I like where his head's at.
But that was his regard for that, the history of the trophy.
Yeah, no, so, I totally respected his process, though.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, that's cool. We're at that party, that media party, and all of a sudden, a guy comes up and picks up the cup and raises it above his head.
And what did you think?
And well, everybody was kind of like shocked. But he was actually, of all the muggles, he was like a really 6'4", good-looking, like, that's not a regular muggle.
Okay.
And a pal of his goes, no, he can do it. His name's on it. And I was like, oh. And
like, you get a lifetime pass.
He was, I forget what team he was on, but he had won it like 15 years ago, and his name was literally on the cup.
That's a lifetime pass.
And
you get to,
like,
hold the cup.
Now, that's a cool exception.
Yes.
So if your name is on the cup, and you happen to run into the cup, anywhere, you're allowed to just pick it up.
You get to hold that thing. You get to walk up to somebody, even if they don't know your name, and you get to say, hey, look about four rows up and about 3 feet in. Check out, read that name. That's me. Give me that trophy. I want to hold that.
All right. The question of what next, we'll get there. We'll have our guy, Mike Chambers, on after 3 o'clock. This is The Drive on the Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Oh, by the way, we've got a great, maybe we could debut that here, KJ. Do you have the Stanley Cup thing Richie was working on? Do you know what I'm talking about? You got that? So, the cup. Listen, man, I can't wait to sort of see pictures with who's with the cup and where it's going and, you know, who runs into the cup. I think that's going to be fun.
It's going to be daily updates. We got a couple already, you know. We got a few of them.
Yeah.
Are we doing that now or are we doing that later? I forget.
I don't know. I kind of just want to hear the song because it was a great idea. It was your idea to do a song or like an intro.
Oh, did we get that done? I didn't think we
Yeah.
Oh, I was told we didn't get it done. Cool.
I think it's, KJ, is it done?
Oh, nice.
You want to hear it?
Sure, let's go. Well, if we're doing it, let's do it.
Well, he'll go around the world from Sweden to Finland. He's a slightly dented trophy coming from Tampa Bay. The only way of high skating in the arena. Tell me where in the world is the Stanley Cup?
Who's singing?
That is Ryan.
Who's singing there?
I don't know.
Is that one of our guys?
Dude, that sounds like Richie.
I think it could have been Richie. That was impressive.
Who was that kid? Who was singing?
I think that is Richie. Because he said Jim didn't do the singing on this one.
That was so much better than what I thought it was going to be. I mean, I put in the request. I did not think it was going to come out like that.
Fantastic. Wait a second. Go ask. Let's get Richie. I know he's in there with Raj. I know the big wigs are talking about things. Go grab him for a second.
Oh, that's great.
How fantastic is that?
So this is going to be our intro whenever we've got an update on where Lord Stanley's Cup has been. We'll talk about it. We've got a few appearances already, D-Mac, you know?
You tell me. We got
one appearance in Eric Johnson's bed. Right. So that was one appearance.
That was one appearance,
That was an interesting location to there have was, the first appearance.
There was some speculation about his relations with the cup, but okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay.
Where else?
Cool. Gabe Landeskog took it to a fire department, got to show it to, some firefighters, so that was cool.
Richie, who was singing on that song? Here, back it up to the beginning there, KJ. Turn on Richie's mic there. Who sang on that song? Are you there?
Raj sang.
Wait, hold on. Turn his mic on. All right, you're good. Who was singing on that?
It was Raj.
And
it was
Raj.
And it was Nate Jackson.
We should have figured.
Yeah.
Nate is
all
on.
Three of you. Okay.
Yeah. Did Nate?
It did sound like multiple voices.
Yeah. Well, we went initially with, we were just going to do just Nate. And then Nate kind of wanted to, like, he was like, let's try to make this more incorporative.
Yeah. Did Nate write it or did you?
Raj and I wrote it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm impressed. I'm thoroughly impressed.
Did Nate sort of direct it, though, as you guys were saying? Did he sort of,
no,
like?
No, because we already had the harmony laid out with the Carmen Sandiego theme. And
okay, so let's do it again and let's let you sing. I think that's what we should do now.
Got enough words.
Well, he'll go around the world from Sweden to Finland. He's a slightly dented trophy
headed back from Tampa Bay.
You're holding way up high, skating in the arena. Tell me where in the world is the Stanley Cup?
Good job! Oh, that's fantastic.
That is wonderful. By the way,
it's sad that I almost forgot the
words. Applause, man.
By the way, not to be too politically correct, but how do we know the Stanley Cup is a he?
Well, it's Lord Stanley's Cup, is it not?
It's Lord.
Okay.
It's not the Lady Bing.
The Lady Bing's a female trophy. Gotcha. What's the Conn Smythe?
Well, there's the Lord of the House, there's the Lady of the House.
Yeah, but what's the Conn Smythe then? If we're putting genders to trophies.
Well, I think that's literally named after a male. So
I'm sure it's not named after Connie?
Connie
Smythe?
I think it's named after Conn. Yeah.
Conn like Connor Smythe?
Don't know if that is a full Connor. Don't know the answer to that.
I would have guessed male, but at worst, that's a gender fluid trophy.
All right, funny. Well, great job, guys. That was wonderful.
That's great.
That is great.
The best part is, I mean, we're going to have months of this. How long does this go on?
It goes for months. It goes for months.
Do you know the exact, and I think it might be different per guy. Do you know the amount of time that they get with the trophy?
I know they get at least a day for sure, and sometimes I think
like some of the big guys, they could get like up to a week.
Oh, I believe it, and it takes international travel as well. And then we got three guys on the team that names will be on the cup, like because Eustace Annan's name will be on the cup. He'll be there, and he's finished too, as well as Lekkonen and Rantanen. So that's three guys. They may have to split up time, but in terms of Burkowski. Yeah, he speaks Swedish. I don't know where he's off to, but Gabe will take it to Sweden for sure. It's not allowed to go to Russia. It's not. So Nichushkin cannot take it to Russia. The NHL said no go on that one. So that's a complicated one. Where else could it be going? Czech Republic. Sure, Pavel Francouz could be taken into the Czech Republic.
Lord knows. I think Scott Parker drove it to where's the big biker thing out in South Dakota or something?
Sturgis.
I think he took it to Sturgis.
All right. I am going to put in a request. I am going to do this, and I'll just cover it, that's if possible. But one of the coolest things I thought last time around is they did take that bad boy up to the top of Mount Elbert. They hiked up to Mount Elbert with it.
Very cool.
And I'll throw it out there officially. Like, I want to be part. If they do anything like that, man, I'd love to cover that.
Cool.
But I'll cover it. I won't,
Carry it. I'm far too weak. Well, great job. Is there any other updates? Do we know anything?
That's the only two that I'm aware of. Now, look, this is going to take a group effort here because it's not like it's going to. Going to take an announcement every single day. It's going to take social media. So, sure. You fans, if you see a player that posted something, send it our way so that you can hear that beautiful song as much as possible.
Maybe if you get to be with it, we can give you a shout out and tell you where you ran into it.
This is a community effort. We need you.
Yeah. Where's that cup going? Big story. This is the big story of the day. Mike Chambers.
Well, we've kind of done it four times already. I think we could transition.
All right. Well, we'll have Mike coming on next. And a day as celebrations lead, we take you up to the parade on Thursday, and we got that covered top to bottom. We have some very specific details about that, and we'll bring that to you coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.